This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Still playing Clemson every single year has removed the roadblock that would be Clemson, or, you know, in 2012 or 2013, Florida State. And so, hey, like, if you've got to play Clemson, the best thing that you could hope for is that you get a rematch in the ACC championship game, because the rest of it sets up so that you can be, even with a loss to Clemson, the second best team in the ACC.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. Graham Hill sitting in for Dennis Cox, who is getting some sort of a superhero tattoo on his forearm. He's also an adult, shockingly, but he's going to do that, and he'll be in tomorrow, and we'll all look at it, and there'll be colors on it, and he'll have superhero powers.
If you could see Dennis being a superhero with superhero powers, what sort of powers would it be?
He would have X-ray vision.
X-ray vision?
I think he would have X-ray vision, yes. He would also be impervious to insect bites.
Okay.
I think that would be it.
A radioactive spider would try to bite him, and it would just have the opposite effect?
Yeah, he would just be, whatever. No effect on me. Normally we do a wall of sound here, but we have breaking news. Do you know where the breaking news is? Oh, look at that. Dennis showed you everything, didn't he, Graham?
He did.
All right. So this is actually a very big deal. Starting in 2024, and this has not necessarily been a signed contract, but the sources that this is coming from are pretty ironclad. I believe it's an AP source. USC and UCLA are going to join the Big Ten. If you listen to this program enough, especially when we talk to Chip Patterson every Wednesday, I've been saying for a long time that the Big Ten is going to surpass the SEC financially. The Big Ten Network is coming up for renegotiation. The Big Ten media rights are coming up for renegotiation next. The SEC has already done a big deal, although it's not that long a deal. And while the SEC is absolutely king in football, nobody's denying that. What the Big Ten has are locations in far bigger media centers.
Show me the money!
Right now, they are behind the SEC in revenue, but after adding Southern Cal and UCLA, and UCLA is just like an add-on in Southern California, but after adding those two universities, and according to the story that I have already skimmed through, the Big Ten isn't done. The Big Ten is ultimately going to be the biggest player financially in college sports. If Southern Cal comes back under Lincoln Riley, this is going to make the Big Ten super, super interesting over time. And this is where I will tie it back to the ACC. A while back, when there were rumors about who the ACC was going to expand with, and Texas came up, and where Texas goes, Oklahoma follows, it was shot down. It was a credible... There were credible sources that had interest, and it seemed at the time that there was an idea that, well, Texas isn't in the Atlantic Coast. They can't be in this league geographically. We have long since stopped caring about geography. This is simply about what league do you want to be in. Teams get on planes, we schedule accordingly. Heck, in baseball, the Pac-10 or Pac-12 has separated into two leagues. They have the Pac-12 North and the Pac-12 South. This was an opportunity missed. Not Southern Cal and UCLA, but the Texas and Oklahoma thing. That was an opportunity missed.
Adam, I have a question for you going on what you were just talking about. So I had a buddy the other day ask me, and I want to get your thoughts on it. What is holding back East Carolina University from trying to get in with the ACC?
It's not about East Carolina trying to get in. It's do the other schools want? Does East Carolina add anything to the other schools? So usually, if you're within, I'll use that phrase, geographic footprint, if you are already within that geographic footprint, then you generally don't add anything. You don't add television eyeballs. You don't add a media center. So when the ACC expanded to Boston College, even if BC Athletics is like the 11th choice for the people in Boston, the games would be on there, right? So Pittsburgh, again, you're expanding the footprint. There's really no reason for East Carolina to be a part of it. They just won't add enough dollars to then spread out and feed another hungry mouth. And you know, I'm not trying to disparage ECU. There are sports that ECU, you know, plays and has a culture that's better than most of the ACC. I'll just use baseball, and in many cases football, right?
Sure.
But they're not going to drive revenue in the league. So they're not going to be invited, just like App State. You know, there's a lot of similarity there. But the ACC, when they went to expand years ago, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, what would have stopped them from adding those two schools? But the notion that, man, you know, they're not really in the ACC, geography doesn't matter. The Big East hasn't been in the East forever. You know, Butler is in Indianapolis. Creighton is in Omaha, Nebraska. Marquette is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. DePaul is in Chicago, Illinois. There's no such thing as a geographically... We have the Big Ten, which is going to have... how many schools? 16? They won't even change the name. The Big 12 had 10. This was an opportunity missed a long time ago by the ACC. And now going forward, the ACC will have one response and one response only. It will be either, Notre Dame, you need to join us so we can at least become, like the Pac-12 is going to die. They're not going to survive without Southern Cal and UCLA.
RIP Pac-12 after dark.
So we've got, right, we've got two conferences, the Pac-12 and the Big 12, that are essentially on life support. If the ACC doesn't act to get Notre Dame and somebody else, and maybe multiple other schools, then the ACC's best bet might be to simply get purchased by the SEC or the Big Ten.
So my thing is this, we're going back to Notre Dame and what you said about how they're going to have to just come out and ask for them to join. I feel like if Notre Dame were to join, they would have done it by now. I know they did during the pandemic season.
Yeah.
But if it's not Notre Dame, then who else?
No, there's no other who else.
There's no other option?
No, it's Notre Dame.
Maryland can't come back?
Why would Maryland come back? Maryland left for money. Why would they come back? They're going to make more money. I mean, they're not going to be competitive, but they're going to make more money.
South Carolina?
Again, why would anybody leave? Nobody's ever leaving the SEC or the Big Ten. There's too much money. You're not leaving all that money.
I think fans of the
SEC... You know what the ACC needs? We need live ACC.
Live ACC?
We need the Saudis to buy the ACC. That's what we need. And then we have all the money. We don't need money.
I was just going to say, for SEC fans' sake, I think they'd be happy to see South Carolina leave just because they give Georgia that automatic win every season to help them get into the college football playoffs in and out.
It's a game changer for college athletics. I think people have always thought that I'm not the only one saying it. We are headed for a massive upheaval in the structure of college, we'll just say college football, because that's what this is all about. It's entirely about football. We are in for a massive upheaval for how the sport is governed. And when Southern Cal and UCLA come under the umbrella of the Big Ten. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. The next move will be either further expansion for that league and or the SEC, and some consolidation from the rest. Like, I don't know what's even available. Like, there is not a single Big 12 school that really moves the needle that already isn't in the ACC's footprint. I guess you could add Houston, but I just don't know what the ACC's reaction is apart from Notre Dame. And then you make some concessions to the Irish, which is fine. They did that during the pandemic. But There's a lot of money that's going to be going to two places and not a lot of money coming to the ACC.
Answering that question is like trying to answer the old age question of how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. The conference will never know.
I always bit it. I always bit the Tootsie Pop.
You weren't patient enough?
No, who was?
Who is? That's a fair point.
Who was? You whether it's a Tootsie Pop or a Blow Pop.
I wish Dennis had shown me how to get sound bites in the middle of the show, because that would have been a perfect one.
That would have been fantastic. Dennis didn't show you everything. He's keeping secrets. Michael Felder, we can actually talk to Michael Felder about this from Stadium, college football analyst, knows more about players than anybody I know. We'll talk to him next. So earlier today, actually in an ungodly hour of the morning, I texted my friend Mike Felder of Stadium and said, you want to talk Arch Manning? You want to talk potential balance of power shift? And I was thinking in my brain, like new powerhouse schools in football, apart from the Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia group, and even a little Serena Williams. Little did I know that the Pac-12, I guess, would potentially lose its two most important pieces of the puzzle. And those are USC and UCLA. We're going to talk to Mike Felder about that and where we go from here, because this is a very, very big deal. Do we have him yet? Mike Felder at In the Bleachers on Twitter from Stadium. Sir, this has turned out to be a pretty news-making day.
What happened? What did I miss?
According to John Wilner, who writes and works for the Pac-12.
Yes.
Southern Cal and UCLA are going to join the Big Ten. Quick reaction to that news, and then we'll go from there. I have some questions. We could just kick it around.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. the Pac-12 is going to fight hard to keep them in there. They're not going to let those guys just walk away. The other thing, though, from a cost standpoint, and I guess you know what? From a cost standpoint, it makes sense, because they're tired of not getting as much money as Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, whoever. They're tired of not getting that much money. And so what their thought process is we join them, we bring value. They are value added to the Big Ten.
Yep.
And that will offset the increased cost of travel for everything else. And it's going to offset it by a lot, because what we're looking at is a $1 billion deal that's going to come down. That's going to come down.
Yeah, like I've been saying this for a long time. Right now, the SEC is the revenue leader, although it's pretty close between the SEC and the Big Ten. Yeah. But the Big Ten is next at the trough with media rights, and adding Southern Cal and UCLA will jump that even more than it already was going to jump. And I think the Big Ten is ultimately going to be the wealthiest of the conferences. And I just don't know what the future is for the Pac-12. I'm not sure they really have one. I know the Big 12 added Houston and Central Florida and whatever.
Yep.
But that doesn't make up for Texas and Oklahoma leaving. So that's going to keep them at around the $35 million per school range. I mean, that could end up being almost a third of what the SEC and the Big Ten are getting. And the ACC is going to get left behind, too. You know, if you had to guess, how does the ACC react?
There's not really anything they can do. That's the problem. Adding schools doesn't help. There's no schools that would leave that cush position in the Big 12, in the Big Ten or the SEC to join the ACC. The Big 12, the two schools that would be nice to add, are already going to the SEC.
Right.
And so much for – there's nothing else that you'd want out of the Pac-12 either. So it's very – it's very much kind of in a stuck position. That's the reality of the situation. I don't think it's a bad situation. I think the teams need to get better, and that's important. But at the end of the day, there's nothing they can do. There's just nothing that the ACC can do.
You have to convince Notre Dame that the handwriting is on the wall, that we're going to two leagues. Right now, we'd only be going to two leagues, so you might as well join with us, and we'll find some, I don't know, maybe a Washington or a Colorado, you know. Right. Look, at this point, we're just throwing stuff at the wall. We'll
at least say Oregon.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking about like Portland's beautiful. I'm not knocking it, but Seattle's a bigger city, right? Maybe
yeah.
Add them both. Maybe add the entire state. You know, Washington, Oregon, Notre Dame, Colorado, Arizona. Add them all. It doesn't. Stanford and Cal. You have to do that, right? Maybe
sure.
That's the ACC's move, is to take the northern part of the Pac-12 and Notre Dame and whoever else, and make your own supersized league. Because what would you do if you were Clemson or Florida State or Miami at this point?
I mean, you got to get on the phone with Sankey, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I think at the end of the day, and this is something that that's been discussed before. And look, I realized today, I've been doing this for professionally, like as my job, since 2008.
Right.
I lived through all of the realignment stuff. I was in college when Virginia Tech, BC, and Miami came over. We beat Miami Tech 2004. I think it was their first year in the league. And then we lost to Virginia Tech that year, and then we played BC in a bowl game, and then they came into the conference the next season. So I was there for that. I was working when Louisville got added, and then West Virginia got left out in the cold when the Big East was kind of dissolving. I was there for that. And the big thing for me now, and this is something that was floated already, UNC, Duke, Virginia to the Big Ten. That's
right.
Been floated a million times. It's been discussed plenty of times. And the reality of it is, I don't think the ACC is going to get stronger by grabbing teams from across the country. I think at the end of the day, we may see the dissolution of it.
Yeah.
Because there will be desired pieces from one of the two power brokers. Because I think we're far more likely to see UNC, Duke, UVA, Big Ten, and then Clemson, Florida State, and probably Georgia Tech as well in that group, Big Ten, and then Clemson, Florida State, possibly Miami, SEC. I think we're more likely to see that, Virginia Tech as well. We're more likely to see that than we are to see the ACC find teams to cobble together something.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I was just saying a few minutes ago that This sort of feels like a we were asleep at the wheel situation from about 10 years ago, that the league should have recognized that Texas and Oklahoma were vulnerable because they wanted out. There was nowhere to go. They weren't going to the Pac-12.
And they should have made a play.
And they should have made a strong play, but that is not what happened. So I'm sitting here looking at It's Felder, a great website that is a convergence of food and football, and Mike Felder, my friend. You have a full rundown of the Kentucky Hot Brown. I'm just trying to drive people to your site, man, because you are next level with that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's funny. When I texted you this morning, I didn't know we were going to talk about UCLA and USC jumping ship. I thought we were going to talk about new players in college football. So let me ask you about this. And then you get into, like, X and O and real deep dives in football and food. And this site is awesome. And I want people to go check it out. It's felder.bulletin.com.
For sure.
So
no, I listen, let's talk Arch Manning. I know that's what we were that was the initial premise before
right,
the big
exactly.
bomb got dropped.
So is he great or is he Manning?
He's good.
He's good.
You ever heard of Tanner McKee?
No.
He's the starting quarterback at Stanford right now.
Oh, okay.
He has the same exact rating coming out of high school as Arch Manning.
Okay.
And I say that not to put Arch Manning down.
Right.
Because I also think because Davis Mills also had the same rating coming out of high school as Arch Manning. And
gotcha.
Davis Mills obviously is going to start for the Texans this year. But the point that I'm making is I don't think that he's not Cam Newton.
Right.
He's not going to walk in and completely change the face. He'll walk in and he'll be the face of your program. But much like we saw with Shea Patterson, much like we're seeing right now with Max Johnson, who I don't even remember where he goes to school anymore. We're seeing with JT Daniels, they need more than just that guy. And that's the problem that Texas has. So, yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. It's amazing. Marquee recruiter, you hope that he does the recruiting to get other guys to go to school there, right? You hope that he does the work to bring people in so they can build a roster around him. But the reason C.J. Stroud is C.J. Stroud is because he's got all them dogs running around.
Yep.
The reason Bryce Young is Bryce Young is because he's got a bunch of dogs running around. He's got a bunch of big boys up in front keeping him safe. The reason DJ Uiagalelei, we thought that DJ would be in the same discussion with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud when all three of them went to college. The difference is they took a major step back on the offensive line and a major step back from a wide receiver standpoint, and now they don't know what they're doing.
And right. So, he might not even be the starter next year.
Yes, and I've heard that. I was talking to somebody today who brought up that exact same point. So Arch, he's a good quarterback. He's very good. Obviously one of the best. But if you don't build a foundation in Austin, we're never going to see it materialize, which is, look, Shea Patterson, super talented.
Yeah.
It never fully got to where it should be because all the pieces around him didn't work. And so at Ole Miss, they had no defense, even though he was electrifying on offense. And then at Michigan, obviously, Harbaugh, and that's the other thing, what's your coach going to do? is he going to throttle you and not let you do anything?
Right.
Or is he going to take the governor off? So those are all parts of this discussion, this situation, that it's great to get a big-time recruit. It's great to be in the tops of recruiting, but you got to put those pieces together. And I don't – when it comes to recruiting for me, I have like a pretty hard and fast philosophy where when I look at a class, I'm not looking at the total ranking. I'm looking at what they're building.
Okay.
And that's the part that's going to be interesting because when I look at Texas's class, I'm still not sure what they're building. And that's different. That's different than Notre Dame because I understand exactly what they're trying to do under Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, they've been killing it pretty well. Michael Felder from Stadium at In the Bleachers on Twitter. So it leads me to this question, and we'll close on this because it's the other college football thing I wanted to ask you. For the last, you know, in the college football playoff era, and you and I are both not fans of expanding beyond four. I'd be in favor of going back to two as opposed to moving it at all. But we've had Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. Maybe their run is over. Who knows? Now Georgia. And has always been somebody else kind of sticking in there, whether it's an LSU, maybe, you know, Michigan was there last year, in Notre Dame. Are there new players coming? Is Southern Cal going to get back under Lincoln Riley? Are there signs of that? Or do we just have a new head coach on the same in the same system? Is Texas ever going to get back? Are we going to have new players in here, or are we still going to be looking at the same schools?
I think we're looking at the same schools. And the question that I would ask, the question that I offer back to you is, what makes us think that it's going to be different?
Right.
Like that's, and it's a hard question to answer, but the reality is, what makes us think it's going to be different? And when you look at it, Alabama, as long as Saban's there, Alabama's going to continue to be Alabama. As long as Kirby Smart's there, they're going to continue to be Georgia, I'm going to call them Alabama. but they're going to continue to do those things. And then I think Ohio State is going to continue Ohio State's going to win the national championship this year. And it's because they have so many good players, and now they have a defensive coordinator that's going to enforce a policy of discipline and accountability while playing a type of defense that was remarkable in the Big 12, a very cover zero heavy, disguise heavy, safeties close to the line of scrimmage defense. In a pass-happy Big 12, he did that, adding an extra defender to the box. In a run-heavy Big 10, it's going to create chaos and nightmares to have essentially eight guys. There were plays for Oklahoma State where Jim Knowles put 11 guys within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. It's going to be devastating to teams that want to run the football. The idea of a quarterback looking up, okay, everybody's at 8 yards. It's first and 10. What am I going to do with this? My coach won't let me throw the ball over the top to challenge them. I guess I just have to hand it off, and we won't pick up any yards.
Right. I'm looking for a thought bubble out of the head of the quarterback at this point. That would be, we need thought bubbles in TV coverage. We do.
It's gonna be a nightmare. These guys are gonna and I love Jim Knowles because I love the fact that he realizes that quarterbacks aren't good in college. Mm. They're not good. And offensive coordinators are not patient. So when you have a not good player and an impatient play caller, what you end up with is a mess. Yes, they will get burned every now and then for a 50-yard game. But they also are going to suffocate your run game and make your quarterback have to make hard throws. And guess what? Most quarterbacks in college aren't good, so they can't do that.
Mike Felder, at In the Bleachers on Twitter. You're the best, my friend. Follow him on Twitter, at In the Bleachers. Check him out on Stadium. And go check out itsfelder.bulletin.com, the definitive Kentucky brand. Kentucky Hot Brown? Did I get that right? Yeah, did I screw the whole thing up?
Yeah, Kentucky Hot Brown. If you guys haven't had a Kentucky Hot Brown from the Brown Hotel, it's an amazing – it's one of the best of buffet sandwiches you can get. Also, before I get off, I just want to say shout-out to my mom. Yesterday was her last day of work, almost 40 years in public education as a teacher.
Wow.
A dean of students and a math facilitator over the course of those years. So I am actually in Charlotte. I am taking her out to dinner tonight.
40 years in public education. She is a hero. Seriously, she is a hero. Sure. As you are as well. Mike, I'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks.
Sounds good. You got to take it easy.
You got it. 40 years in public ed. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and rewind. We'll talk also about the breaking news of the day, which ultimately is going to usher in a massive shakeup in college sports. Next. We started the program with the news of Miles Bridges and a domestic violence arrest, felony domestic violence arrest that happened yesterday. So that casts a little bit of a pall over everything, certainly for the Charlotte Hornets, for the victim, for Miles Bridges, and, you know, putting a little bit of a cloud over his future. And about 2 hours later, we see the news that USC and UCLA are reportedly headed to the Big Ten. That would be for the start of the 2024 season. So this year, next year, staying in the Pac-12. Pac-12 is right now in negotiations to try to redo their TV, their media rights packages.
over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Wow, good luck with that.
Everybody that's listening, of course, unless you're driving on the road right now, be sure to pour one out for Pac-12 After Dark.
It's over.
Going to miss some of those games.
Well, those teams will still be playing something.
They just won't be playing after 10 o'clock.
But I was just thinking about what the ACC, how does the ACC react to that? And I'm not sure that they can, other than what is the obvious, which is, hey, Notre Dame, we got to do this. Otherwise, we're going to be out. I mean, we're not going to exist. Here's what happens. If you are Clemson, if you are Florida State, if you are Miami, if you are Louisville, and your success in football is paramount to your identity as a school, you can't fall behind by essentially 65% in the revenue category to the schools you're competing with. Clemson can't be getting $35 million from media rights if Georgia's getting $75 million from media rights.
On that note, let's talk about NC State in that scenario, because they have a lot of primetime games this year for their upcoming season. You have the East Carolina one, even though it's at noon, it's still going to be on ESPN. Texas Tech, Clemson, it's either going to be on ESPN or ABC. Same deal with Carolina, ESPN or ABC. And then there's the Virginia Tech game that's going to be the Thursday night, the weekend before Halloween. That'll be a big game just for the fan base, both fan bases. As you know, a lot of Virginia Tech fans will travel down from Blacksburg. But NC State, not only with the expectations they have this year as being a good team with everything that's coming back, but a lot of people are looking on them to give Clemson some competition from here on out.
The reality is that the final scores don't matter. It just doesn't matter. Florida State doesn't even have to be good, right? Miami doesn't even have to be good. What they are is football brands. And I'm not saying that they might have greater attraction to the Big Ten than they do to the SEC, but those schools will be looking for a richer home, a richer neighborhood, because they have to. They have to. The ACC has to be able to, they've been talking about bridging the gap, and they have to be able to financially come up with some sort of an idea that could get, like, you're never going to catch all the way up. I mean, it's completely unrealistic, and it might even be unnecessary to catch all the way up. But you can't be this far behind. Those schools will be a phone call away. And it's been pointed out, yes, there is grant of rights. The ACC's contract with their member institutions gives their media rights money to the ACC if they leave. I will just say, any deal can be negotiated away. Any deal.
It's not about the records of the team. It's about what the reputation of the football programs have to offer.
It's almost not about that either.
Because we don't know what's going to happen
with
NC State.
It's about overall value.
We don't know what's going to happen with NC State this upcoming season. But when you look at next season, who NC State will host at Carter-Finley, Cincinnati, Miami, Carolina, Notre Dame.
Let me just stop you here. None of this matters. None of it matters. It's only about what you are as a valuable property. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, as much as we would like it to be different, NC State is not going to surpass North Carolina on the value ladder. They're just not, right? That sucks. I mean, State could, like, now if State becomes a national power, different story. But barring something completely wacky, and I apologize for saying that that's completely wacky, but it kind of is, they're not passing UNC. They're not passing Clemson. They're not passing Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech. Just not doing that.
Maybe they can get the imprint of Thayer Thomas doing his impression of the Jumpman logo and add it to their stuff, and that might boost some sales, just saying.
So
that logo seems to do a lot for Carolina.
Like, no, I'm not trying to make this about, you know, because State is an also-ran here. And frankly, there's a lot of also-rans in the ACC. And if you are a, yeah, Virginia has, the Big Ten has interest in many schools in the ACC because they would add something to the Big Ten. That might be ultimately the move for a lot of schools. And it might be a mass exodus of a lot of schools. And who knows, maybe if the lawyering is good enough from the ACC level, maybe they retain a whole bunch of money and Duke and Wake and Boston College end up really, really rich taking in other schools' media rights money. It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen. This is a game more so than what Texas and Oklahoma did going to the SEC. This is a game changer because the Pac-12 is on life support. The Big 12 is kind of on life support anyway. It was really sort of the, I'll just say the generosity of ESPN that was keeping the money at about the same.
Sure.
But this even throws all of that into a tailspin. Look, the next, we're going to Operation Football in Charlotte in 3 weeks. Wow. If I'm Jim Phillips, I'm not going to have answers. I'm not going to have answers by July 20th. It's going to be an interesting 2 days at the Westin in Charlotte. A very interesting 2 days. I will say this, the associate producer today, Joe Ovius, understands this. Those 2 days for me normally are, I endure them. I don't love them. I get through them. This time, I'm into it. I'm into it. They're not going to have answers, but they got to have something. It's a really, really interesting time. Otherwise, I'm just going to write stories about Hurricanes and free agency.
Come on, Adam. You didn't love it in the past when they had the little mini putt-putt challenge set up for the coaches and players to come by and
do. I loved all that.
Props to the OG.
Those are fun events. Hey, look, we brought electric football. Joe set up video games.
Wow,
we did a lot of cool things, but this is a big time cataclysmic occurrence in college sports, and I can't wait to see what happens next. The whole landscape is in 5 years. I don't believe we will. If you went to sleep for 10 years, you wouldn't recognize what college sports is going to look like in 5 years, or maybe sooner than 5 years. All right, let's dive into a little bit of a rewind, shall we? All right, so you're going to have to help me here, Graham. We have Wes Durham, voice of the ACC. What are we, which segment of our conversation with Wes are we going to hear?
We're going to hear from the very beginning when you kind of ask him about the recent news that Packer and Durham after tomorrow will no longer be on
tomorrow's
the ACC network.
One.
I know.
Very upsetting.
Poor one out for those guys, too. Well, they're not going anywhere.
No. They're both going to be part of the ACC
network.
They're
not changing conferences.
No. Well, we don't know. Can the Big Ten Network buy the ACC Network?
How much money is Wes Durham worth?
A lot.
The better question is, does Packer have to give his basement back to the ACC?
No.
Okay.
His basement still belongs to him. Here's Wes.
Yes, we are fine. This is all good. And, you know, as Marcus said, there'll be things announced in the coming weeks that'll make sense to people. And as I've indicated, I'm hoping that my play-by-play role is going to expand. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, a lot of things in, you know, have to be kind of, you have to have some little patience with some stuff. So this is a time where, you know, 3-4 weeks down the road, I think it'll all be a little bit clearer to folks.
All right, here's what I want. First of all, you have a future in emceeing big events. You did a phenomenal job in keeping it moving at the NSMA awards on Monday. And I knew you were there all weekend, but I only showed up Monday. But you did a great job, you know, running through all that. You're big time. So I appreciate that that you will come on this show on short notice. But you are big time, and I appreciate your friendship and all of that.
Well, let me say this real quick. First of all, it was awesome to watch you get the award, and I'm thrilled for you because that's kind of the you know, in all honesty, I've been blessed to be part of the organization for a long time, and I've been on the board way too long, and now I'm board chair for some reason because I think other people ran off and hid. so there's a lot of things about that. But number two, the coolest thing about seeing you get the award the other night was the reaction of Scott Van Pelt, who got up out of his chair and came 40 feet across the room to hug you after you got off the stage.
Well,
and that was about the neatest thing I've seen. And that was a cool moment between guys that have known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that with your listeners because I think that's something that, you know, people forget. We do games, talk shows, whatever. We talk sports for a living. Everybody thinks it's great, but there's still cultivated, lasting friendships in this industry that go beyond the workplace or go beyond that environment. And it was cool to see you guys kind of reconnect that way. That was really cool.
That was cool. It was the whole night. The whole night was cool. Wes did a super, super job as an MC. I will also say that we had a number of really emotional speeches. Scott Van Pelt. Talking about his friend Stuart Scott, the late Stuart Scott, who went into the NSMA Hall of Fame. And Scott himself was honored as the Sportscaster of the Year. He and Ernie Johnson tied for that award. Ernie Johnson was emotional, but Scott brought it. Absolutely brought it. Jackie McMullen, who went into the Hall of Fame, she was great. Curry Kirkpatrick spoke for a really long time, but it was funny. He did. He spoke for a long time. Curry Kirkpatrick thought we were all there to see him. Charles Barkley was very good. He didn't get an award. He helped present Curry Kirkpatrick. It was a great night. It was a 4-hour ceremony, but it was a
sure
tremendous,
was worth it.
tremendous night. So I thank Wes for bringing all of that up. Was not my intent. I don't like this to be about me. All right, let's talk a little bit more about is this Felder talking about USC and UCLA? All right, Mike Felder from Stadium. We talked to him about 20 minutes ago, but if you didn't hear it, this is him talking about the. It's not really a rumor. This is going to happen. Southern Cal and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten
because they're tired of not getting as much money as Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, whoever. They're tired of not getting that much money. And so what their thought process is we join them, we bring value. They are value added to the Big Ten.
Yep.
And that will offset the increased cost of travel for everything else. And it's going to offset it by a lot because what we're looking at is a billion-dollar deal that's going to come down.
Yeah, like I've been saying this for a long time. Right now, the SEC is the revenue leader, although it's pretty close between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But the Big Ten is next at the trough with media rights, and adding Southern Cal and UCLA will jump that even more than it already was going to jump. And I think the Big Ten is ultimately going to be the wealthiest of the conferences. And I just don't know what the future is for the Pac-12. I'm not sure they really have one. I know the Big 12 added Houston and Central Florida and whatever.
Yep.
But that doesn't make up for Texas and Oklahoma leaving. So that's going to keep them at around the $35 million per school range. I mean, that could end up being almost a third of what the SEC and the Big Ten are getting. And the ACC is going to get left behind, too. You know, if you had to guess, how does the ACC react?
There's not really anything they can do. That's the problem. Adding schools doesn't help. There's no schools that would leave that cush position in the Big 12, in the Big Ten or the SEC to join the ACC. The Big 12, the two schools that would be nice to add, are already going to the SEC.
Right.
And so much for, there's nothing else that you'd want out of the Pac-12 either. So it's very much kind of in a stuck position. That's the reality of the situation. It's, I don't think it's a bad situation. I think the teams need to get better, and that's important.
Man, I can't express just how monumental this decision would be. The ripple effects will be felt everywhere. Everywhere. Graham, we're going to close. We have, what, a minute left here. I'm going to close the show with this. This is about 12 years ago, almost now. We used to do a draft every once in a while on the show, on the old afternoon show that I did with Joe Ovius. And we once did an ACC or a college football expansion draft where we put together conferences.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
And there was no geography necessary. That's where we're headed. Except that we won't have four leagues. We might just have two. And they might be massive. Have a great... Thank you very much, Graham. You did a good job.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's been a pleasure.
We'll let you... Your key card will work tomorrow. We'll see. Joe, you did a great job. Bye.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.